Even once Tolkien had worked out these points in Chapter 2, he still had an enormous amount of work to do, and more importantly, he had a lot of false starts and a really difficult time getting things going. This was frustrating to him, and it meant it took a long time. But those frustrations ended up developing the structure of The Lord of the Rings, which is one of the things that separates it out from other texts. The Lord of the Rings has an aesthetic pattern of action and rest, or stress and release, as Ursula Le Guin calls it. Characters do the same things again and again. There's multiple underground journeys. There's multiple journeys through a forest. There's multiple safe, homely houses that the characters stay in. But just like the oral traditional material that I discussed at the very beginning of the course, where when you see the repetition, you see it for itself, and you also see it in comparison and in distinction to the repetitions that have come before, it's the same thing in Tolkien. So that when we're going through the Barrow-White's chamber, or the Mines of Moria, or Shelob's lair, each of those underground journeys matches up with the previous one and is both similar to it and different from it. I don't know for sure that Tolkien planned this out in advance. It's not entirely clear from his drafts that he thought he wanted to have this microstructure, macrostructure pattern. However, it's consistent with what he said about the poem Beowulf, and it's also consistent with the pattern of interlace that you see in Anglo-Saxon art and literature. That is, where plots or even lines on a page cross and recross each other in a complex pattern. You can think of this Celtic knotwork that you see illustrated in medieval manuscripts. That's representative of this interlace pattern. Now, what that pattern does, first of all, is it violates the straight-ahead action style of Tolkien's sources, either in the Victorian age or in medieval times. People argue that there's an interlaced structure in Beowulf, but pretty straightforwardly, he fights one monster, he fights the other monster, then he goes back and tells about the fights, and then he fights a third monster. But yet again, even in Anglo-Saxon, which had interlace, it's not as complex and sophisticated as it is in Tolkien. So the many false starts and the many attempts to get going ended up paying a great benefit in the overall psychological experience of the reader reading The Lord of the Rings. I am certainly not alone in feeling that in some strange way, The Lord of the Rings recapitulates journeys of childhood, going from the small country, that is the Shire and its immediate surroundings, to the larger and larger and larger country in the larger scale, where the temptations and the difficulties start out fairly small and very soon become very, very large and cosmic. And that pattern of stress and release. It's much more like a person would go through life than it is the way a person would go through a story. What also makes Tolkien's work psychologically realistic is how many people, creatures, and events just come out of nowhere.